The God who reveals himself in his Son, the God who gives us the gift of his Spirit, the God who wants us to come and to worship and adore him. This is the God whom we worship. This is the God whom we serve. This is the God whom we love. And may all praise and glory be to him. I reckon all of us like to hear words that are comforting, words that are reassuring, words that are encouraging, and we all need to hear those things. And we can probably all think of lives that have been blighted because they never heard those comforting, reassuring, encouraging words from the people that should have given them to them. We need that comfort. We need that reassurance. We need that love, that encouragement. And there are times when all of us need it. And Jesus, as you read through the Gospels, is so good at just drawing people to himself so that in him they find that comfort, that reassurance, that encouragement that they and we need. But there are also times when we do not need to be comforted, reassured. There are times when we need to be confronted. And we don't like to think about Jesus doing that, and yet Jesus could be confrontational when he wanted to be. Especially when in his relationship with the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, these senior people within the church. And Jesus could be very critical. Listen to one little passage from Matthew 23. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. It's not very encouraging, Jesus. It's not very reassuring or comforting. For a Jew, it would make them unclean if they stepped on a grave, if they stepped on a tomb. So to make it obvious, tombs are often whitewashed so that you could see it and you wouldn't step on it. And they would look wonderful on the outside, beautifully kept, nicely whitewashed. But the inside was a very different story. And Jesus looks at these leaders amongst God's people and says, that's what you're like. Bit of a different view from the gentle Jesus, meek and mild, that we sometimes hold to. The Jesus who will always pat us on the head. The Jesus who will always say nice, encouraging things to us. The Jesus who will also confront us about how we live, about what's going on in our lives. And he seems to be at his harshest when the book and its cover don't match. When the label doesn't match what's in the carton. When the facade that we wear doesn't match up with what's going on in our heads and hearts, that's when Jesus seems to be at his harshest. When we look one thing and behave one thing, but we think something else. That's when Jesus seems to be at his harshest. As Hope has reminded us, this little passage in Mark chapter 7 is sparked off by the Pharisees and teachers of the law being more concerned about ceremonial washing of their hands than they are about what Jesus is teaching. If you look back a little earlier in Mark chapter 7, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law go to where Jesus is teaching, and they're not really interested in what he's teaching. The thing that really gets them upset is the fact that his disciples haven't gone through this ceremonial hand washing before they eat. It was important to them. You remember the story of Jesus at the wedding of Canaan, when there are these great jars of water sitting around the edge of the room, and Jesus turns the water into wine. Those jars of water were there for the ceremonial washing. It was so important. Jesus, how come your disciples don't do the ceremonial hand washing, the ritual hand washing that they're supposed to? And they're more concerned about that than they are about what Jesus is teaching. But it's not a new problem. Jesus demonstrates that when he replies to the Pharisees, not with his own words, but he quotes from Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, hundreds of years before. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They say one thing, but what's really going on inside them is a totally different thing. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their hearts don't match up with their lives. The book isn't a match to the cover. What's in the carton doesn't match it. The facade that we wear just doesn't link up with what's going on in heads and hearts. The prophet Jeremiah knew this was true also. Listen to what Jeremiah says. Jeremiah 17. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind. All the way through Scripture, the important thing is not what we do. What we do is important, but we can get so fixed upon that we lose out on the motivation for what we do. Why you do what you do. So the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, they're fixated on right behavior. They have to be seen to be doing the right things. And they're so obsessive about this that they actually have created lots more rules for themselves. The rule on cleanliness was important, but they took it to great lengths. They created more and more layers of rules so that there was no way you would ever break God's rules. But their own rules became more important. They lost sight of what they were doing. They lost sight of why they were doing it. As long as you could tick all the boxes, I've obeyed this rule, obeyed that rule, I've been here, I've done that. As long as you could tick all the boxes, that was all that mattered. So they get upset when Jesus' disciples can't tick the right boxes. They eat with hands that are ritually unclean. They're defiled. So it's not what's going on in those people's hearts and heads that the Pharisees are really worried about. They're more worried about the fact that you haven't obeyed the rules. You can't tick that box. So Jesus speaks to them. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. It's not about the food you eat. It's not about the number of times that you wash your hands and the water that's been set aside for it. It's not about these things. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. And then verse 22, we've got this long list of what comes out of our hearts. Out of men's hearts come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. It reads like a trailer for an episode of EastEnders. But it's what's going on in our hearts. Maybe not all of them. Maybe not all to the same degree, but those things are going on in our hearts. And Jesus says, there's where the problem is. It's not to do with your hands. It's not to do with the food you eat. It's to do with what's in your heart. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean, says Jesus. So as far as Jesus is concerned, being defiled comes from an impure heart. It's not from breaking external rules. As far as Jesus is concerned, fellowship with God is not interrupted by unclean hands or eating particular food. Fellowship with God is interrupted by sin, by the impure heart. So it should cause us to look at ourselves Let me ask you this question. If you are shaken, what spills out? If you're shaken, what spills out? Now, if you shake in one of these cartons, and you'll see what spills out of it. Looks great on the outside, but give it a shake and pour it out. Different story. So when someone upsets you, when someone hurts you, when someone disappoints you, what spills out? Very often, it's, I've got you. What goes around comes around. I'll get my own back. I'll be ready for you next time. What spills out when you're shaken? Because that's a real measure of what's in our hearts. Sometimes it doesn't take very much to rattle our cages so that what's in our hearts spills out. But it can be so obvious. And it's what spills out of your life and my life when we're shaken. Is it God-honoring? Is it indicative of a pure heart? Or is it, as Jesus says, an indication of all the rubbish that goes on in our own hearts? So following Jesus is not primarily about keeping rules. Rules are important. And there are rules which flow out of our relationship with Jesus. There are ways that we live that flow out of our relationship with Jesus. But that's not primarily what we're about. Following Jesus is not primarily about keeping the rules, ticking the boxes. It is so easy for us to become Pharisees again. They don't behave the way that we behave. He doesn't speak the way that we speak. She doesn't dress the way that we dress. They don't come to the services. They don't do this. They don't do that. And we become Pharisees again so easily and so quickly. And we have a checklist that we tick off of external things. Following Jesus starts in the heart. David, the psalmist, knew this. There was a time when David sinned openly, when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And his heart is broken. And he goes back to God, and the first thing he says is not, "Forgive me for that sin, but create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me." David knew that the pure heart was what God looked for. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. So the gospel starts with a new pure heart, an inner change of heart, and that then leads to a new motivation. Our hearts are changed, so the reason that we do things changes. It's not to promote ourselves anymore. It's not to put other people down so that we look better. Our hearts are changed and our motivation becomes seeking to glorify God, seeking to encourage each other, showing love to each other. Our motivation changes. How we live and behave changes because our hearts are changed. It's interesting that David, when he cries out to God, he simply says, "Create in me a new heart, O God." And the word that's used for create is this, making something totally new. It's not taking something old and remodeling it and reshaping it and giving it a new life. It's creating something totally new. So David says, "Create in me this completely new heart, O God. Change me." Jesus was talking to another leader within the church, Nicodemus. Nicodemus is struggling to understand all that Jesus is teaching and saying. And Jesus simply says to Nicodemus, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is slightly changed, unless he turns over a new leaf, unless he tries a bit harder. Jesus doesn't say any of that. Jesus says no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again, unless he is totally new, this new creation. Create in me a pure heart, O God. You must be born again, is this totally new life. And out of that, we follow Jesus. This side of heaven, none of us will ever have a completely pure heart. There'll always be different motivations going on in there. There'll always be something that wants to put ourselves first. There'll always be something in us that wants to maybe put some other people down so that we look a little bit better. There'll always be something that knows that what God calls us to do and to be, but we step back from it. This side of heaven, we will never have a completely pure heart. But it's the work of our triune, three-in-one God to go about bringing that around. This God who has created us, this Jesus who comes so that we may in him have this new birth, this new heart, create in me this new heart. This Holy Spirit who works in us day by day so that we are changed more and more and more into the likeness of Jesus. God is at work in us, changing us from what we are to what he wants us to be for his glory. And how will we know when that process is finished? Well, I think I've used the illustration before of when gold was originally purified, it was the gold ore which contained all those impurities was heated in a great cauldron. And all of the impurities, the dross, would float to the surface, and the refiner would simply scrape away that dross, that impurity. Would heat it a little bit more, and more would rise up, and he could scrape it away. How would he know? How would the refiner know when that gold was pure? Well, apparently the answer originally was the refiner could look into the liquid gold and see his reflection. Then he knew it was pure. That's what Jesus is at. As his Holy Spirit works in you and in me, removing that impurity day by day, then we will stand before him and he will look into us and see his reflection as we follow Jesus with a pure heart. May God give us the grace to allow the heart specialist to work in us for his glory and for the good of his people. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we wish that our lives at times were closed books, but they're not. They're open. You are the God who sees and knows all things. Lord, we cannot hide the state of our hearts. For better than any scan, better than any X-ray, you see and you know. And so we come humbly, praying with David, create in us, Lord, a pure heart. And to you be all praise and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.